Morning, Oregon. I'm Finn J.D. John, fj@offbeatoregon.com, your host for today's Offbeat Oregon History Podcast episode. Thanks for downloading, and I sure hope you enjoy it. This story was first published on December 20th of 2010 under the headline, "The World's Smallest Natural Harbor Used to Be Even Smaller." 15 miles from the world's shortest river along the Oregon coast lies the world's smallest natural navigable harbor. And it used to be even smaller. Until it was expanded 45 years ago, its rocky twisting entrance was just 30 feet wide, and at low tides the fishing boats at the docks tipped over and lay on their sides in just a few inches of water and mud. It's Depot Bay, quite possibly the Oregon coast's most photographed town. And it's a place of picturesque extremes. With roughly 1,400 residents, it's one of the smallest hamlets on the coast, yet during the summer there are probably more tourists per square foot in Depot Bay than any other coastal town. With a municipal tax base of $0, it also has the smallest tax base in the state, an honor it shares with a number of other towns, but so far as I've been able to learn, none with four-digit populations. Depot Bay's tax base was frozen at $0 by ballot measure 50 in 1997. With its famous spouting horn, it now has what may be the closest thing Oregon has to a geyser. The real geyser in Lakeview, Old Perpetual, stopped spouting in 2009. The spouting horn is a 2-foot-wide underwater cave that channels incoming breakers straight up and sometimes in especially heavy surf can soak the sidewalk on Highway 101. And it's for that very reason that the developers of the town once came within a cat's whisker of having the horn filled in with cement, a move that would have surely gone down in history as one of the dumbest moves in the history of tourism. Depot Bay is one of the coast's youngest towns, having only gotten started in 1927 when the highway and bridge were built, and lacking a post office till 28. Yet until 1998, it was home to the oldest privately owned aquarium in the U.S. This aquarium was opened the same year as the highway, and in more ways than one it was inspired by the road. Generally, it was inspired by the tourists that the road was starting to bring to the formerly isolated hamlet, and specifically, it was inspired by a group of tourists who stopped their cars and gathered around a dead octopus by the roadside. Town co-founder Harvey Collins saw the commercial possibilities of popular curiosity about marine life, and later that year the first aquarium in Oregon was opened for business. And business was good. It was good for years. The aquarium acquired an enviable reputation as a place to go to see harbor seals and sea lions doing tricks and to gawk at octopi, often donated by Depot Bay fishermen who hauled them in as bycatch, and learn about the latest crop of wildlife brought in to be rehabilitated. Still, no private facility dating back to 1927 could compete with the Mark O. Hatfield Marine Science Center and Oregon Coast Aquarium, built in 1992 just a dozen or so miles north in Newport with the full support and expertise of Oregon State University behind it. That was especially true a few years later when Keiko, the orca star of the movie Free Willy, took up residence there. To make matters worse, the aquarium's star, a seal named Oscar, had died of old age at 37 just a few years before. By 1998, 10 years after Oscar's death, the owners threw in the towel and closed the doors. The animals, there were only 3 left by then, 2 sea lions and a harbor seal, found new homes, 2 at a children's zoo in Indiana and 1 at SeaWorld in San Diego. Today, the building that once housed the aquarium is the Silver Heron Art Gallery, a high-end gallery with a piano bar and wine salon upstairs, which benefits greatly from the generous space and natural light that were necessary for the animals and exhibits at the old aquarium. Among some hardy locals, though, it's not so much animals or art or any of that other tourism-related stuff that Depot Bay is best known for. These are people who listen for gale warnings and, when an especially gnarly weather system is about to pounce, hightail it to Depot Bay, park along the seawall, open a thermos of coffee, and wait. With its massive rocks, close-in seawall parking, and dramatic spouting horn, Depot Bay is one of the best places in the state for winter storm watching, especially if you don't mind getting a little wet. Key sources in this story included works by Stan Allen, Nikki Price, OregonCoastToday.com, CentralCoastJournal.com, and SilverHeronGallery.com. That's our show for today. Thanks again for listening. This podcast is part of Offbeat Oregon History, a public history resource for the state we love. Offbeat Oregon, by the way, is a division of Pulplit Productions, a boutique publishing house about which more can be learned at pulp-lit.com. In addition to Offbeat Oregon books, podcasts, and audiobooks, we also publish book and audiobook versions of collections of what you might call street literature. 1920s pulp magazine writers like H.P. Lovecraft and Edgar Rice Burroughs, gothic penny dreadful titles like Sweeney Todd and The Adventures of Highwayman Dick Turpin, all straight shots of bottled-in bond working man's fiction and working women's fiction from the last couple of centuries. If that sounds like your jam, I'd love to have you check them out. That is pulp-lit.com. Our theme music is by the Atlas String Band and was written by Carmen Ficarra. Listen and download more at atlasstringband.com. Episodes of Offbeat Oregon History are uploaded around 6 a.m. every weekday, so the next one will be on your device and ready to go before you know it. Until then, go out and fill up the rest of the day with good stuff. Bye now.